Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back. It's Digital Assets Daily and
G Perez, GXRP Perez. What's going on, guys?
How's it going?
Good, man.
How's your day, man?
My day was good. I wanted to get home and deep dive some more because there's a lot of unanswered questions and there's a lot of information. I mean, people want more and we need to give it to them. That's our responsibility as content creators, right?
So yeah, and we have so much for them.
I know.
I think they're going to be loving this series.
I'm going to go ahead and let you start because I think you're good at starting things.
Okay, sounds good. I'll dive right in and give you a chance to get situated. The basically what we're doing is we're going to continue on the file we have. We have so much information. This series is probably going to be a little longer than we expected. Oops, sorry. My phone thought I was talking to it. Let me just turn it off really quick.
By the way, we did get a lot of positive feedback, and we really love that. I mean, anything, doesn't matter what it is, just say it. Because constructive criticism is always good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for the feedback to everybody, really, honestly.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. All right, I'm just going to dive right in. So, from this perspective of this article, the Can IBM and Stellar's World Wire surpass Ripple and Swift as cross-border payments leader. His question in this, throughout this article, his perspective, are those three physical competitors, you know, spoiler alert, we already know that XRP and Stellar have to perform together to create the World Wire.
And how do we know that?
Tons of articles on that. We'll get into it.
How do we know that? How do we know that? Come on, give him an overview. How do we know that?
We're going to get into this.
Oh, okay.
It's going to explain it throughout this series that we're doing. They're going to know it as well as you and I do.
Get it.
All right, here we go. In late January, Ripple CEO Brad Gullinghouse shared a stage at the Paris FinTech Conference with Swift CEO Gottliebrandt, arguing why each firm represented the future of cross-border payment. Their arguments basically came down to whether banks would be willing to abandon their tried and tested relationship with Swift to embrace the benefits of a decentralized network, as he's often done. Gullinghouse claimed that the future belongs to decentralized networks, but the decentralized network may not belong to either Ripple or Swift.
Uh-oh. SpaghettiOs.
Oh.
I mean, they claim that Ripple's going to be decentralized, but is that the honest truth? Because, I mean, if anything that's controlled by the government, there has to be some sort of control. I know they can trace the ledger and pretty much anywhere in the world. But the problem is, since it runs on government, you know, terms and regulation, you really think that's really true, the whole decentralized situation?
I don't know. I think my honest truth is I think we're going to have a lot of surprises this year.
Because they're leading towards, I mean, every government's centralized. So it's like, but okay, let's continue. Go ahead.
Operating on the Stellar blockchain network, IBM's WorldWire payments service may offer a best of both worlds solution, combining the decentralization and speed of Ripple with a trusted reputation and existing relationship with major banks comparable to Swift. IBM's official website outlines the World Wire's benefits, and they are almost identical to those of Ripple's XCurrent and XRapid offerings.
Because they each have to have a system in order to perform. You have to have a system which is like their tunnel. You got to have that. It's their own platform in order to get that done. That's why they seem so similar. And they were created by the same creators as we saw in our last videos. But go ahead. Keep going.
The near instant transactions, complete transparency, and thorough transaction tracking, low clearing costs, and compatibility with any currency or asset type, which you and I know, and we've discussed on here that XRP and XLM are literally, like you said, they're basically twins.
They are.
Compatible with any currency or asset.
It's a change. It's a change in the code in order for it to be able to hit institutions, to hit banks, and to hit retail. Whether they're small amounts, big amounts, whatever the case may be, which they never said they didn't do institutions. They did mention, you know, small volume, but how do we know that's 100%? Like,
Time. That's my only answer. Right? Time will tell. Yeah. Time reveals everything.
While you read that, I'm going to go ahead and see if I find it in the white paper, that the consensus.
Okay. I'll keep going then. IBM also notes that 97% of the world's largest banks are already with IBM clients, while 90% of global credit card payments are processed on IBM mainframes. Think about that for a second. 97% of the world's largest banks are already IBM clients.
That's what I was telling you. That's why the World Wire, I mean, come on, guys. It only makes sense for this to happen. Why wouldn't you partner up with somebody that's trying to transfer huge amounts? And it's already there. It's already on the main focus. Who cares what they do? As long as we all make money, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm in here for.
They're not against each other. You might see it that way, but they're not really competitors. It's they're trying to go for different markets.
Exactly. I think you nailed it right there. To be honest, a lot of people don't realize they're different markets. For example, sorry, my nose is itching around the tip. I apologize. If you see me rubbing, my nose are touching. I apologize right now. The main thing is, a lot of people are, for example, with remittance. I think most people don't realize there are two levels, so to speak. Your wholesale, which is institutional, and your retail, again, to simplify it, is like you and I. So I think when people hear, oh, they're in remittance, no, they're not going to shut down XRP. And then the other side, no, XLM is not going to get shut down.
What's the difference? I mean, it doesn't matter.
So I don't think they realize it takes both of them to process that perfectly. Not saying that one cannot do it alone, but I mean, you think about it. There's only so much one of them can do alone.
That's the truth.
You're going to need each other. Like Brad Garlinghouse said, they're going to be working together. They all have different use cases. And that's the thing that I think when people get upset and they get emotional, they're overinvested and they, you know, tend to lean more to arguments or FUD, I don't think they realize they're going to need each other. They're forgetting.
We are not here for that. You know what we're here for? For both of them to grow. So we make money off both of them. You know?
Absolutely.
We're not financial advisors.
Absolutely. But I mean, that's the truth. It's going to take both of them to get the job done. One's working with large sums, not that the other isn't, but it's different. And again, you're going to have, remember too, there's commodities, you have derivatives, you have remittance. The list continues and continues. And then on top of that, then you have like gaming, you have, I mean, for example, TipBot. I mean, there's so many different things they're all going to get into. You can only break something up so much. And like Brad Garlinghouse is known for, you know, like we were discussing earlier, the Peanut Butter Manifesto, spreading yourself too thin. If something spreads itself too thin, does everything, it's going to do a poor job at all of them. So you focus on a couple of markets or one or, you know, say one or two markets, and you do those amazingly well, and you allow something else to grow that can fulfill all of the other needs. And then you're all working together. And like Brad Garlinghouse said, that a lot of people, I think, forget, it's going to take everybody to get this market going, to grow the market right now. And a lot of people forget, regardless if they just came in thinking, oh man, I'm going to be a billionaire tomorrow. It takes time. And when you understand the cycles, it's, again, they come in time. They revolve. But in my opinion, the biggest thing people are missing is what Brad was mentioning with, it's going to take all of them. We're so early. And I think, going back to my point, that's what I think a lot of people forget, because they feel like they've been here forever. And they may have been here a year, 2 years, 5, 6 years. But the whole world, look at 6 years ago to how many people on the planet population knew to today. I mean, today we're still talking, what, less than 2% of the population of over, what, 7.2 billion people on the planet?
Yeah.
I don't know the number off the top of my head. Break that down. I mean,
it's very easy. While you continue, I'll go ahead and look it up.
I mean, that's a lot of people who have absolutely no clue, if you're listening to my voice right now, who have no idea what you know right now.
Let's see.
If you talk to the rest of that population, you would be the genius, you know?
So there's 7.53 billion.
There you go.
And that was in 2017. So let's see how many in 2019, for example. 7.7 billion. So I'm guessing, yeah, they grew. So Well, what would you add? 7.8 billion probably by now, 2020.
Well, just stay with 7.5. Just keep it small.
Keep it simple, right?
You got a calculator there? I just turned off my phone. It's for some reason everybody wants to call me right now.
Yeah. What do you need me to call?
Do 7.5 billion. Let's the number that everyone's throwing around is 1 to 2%. Let's double it just for fun. Say 4% of the population now.
Okay, so 4% of 4%.
What is 4% of 7.5? We're doubling it. Again, they are saying 1 to 2. Let's just double it for fun.
0.3%.
And then what does that equal of the 7.5? Multiply that one. 7.5 times 4% equals... I'm just curious.
Okay, I got you. Uno minuto, por favor.
Gracias, sir.
How would you calculate that? It's 0.3.
Do seven here. Just do 7.5.
Uh-huh.
The billion, 7,500,000,000.
Uh-huh. 7.5
times 4.
Uh-huh.
Click the percent, and then equals.
That's what I just did.
You hit the equals. If you don't, it's going to give you the percent, which is probably the 0.0.
It's giving me the same thing, 0.3.
Let me see. Give me one moment. This is fun.
I'm not stretching it. I'm just...
Yeah, I'm just interested.
And I'm trying to see the volume of the stellar, inside of the stellar consensus.
Okay, so think of this. As they're using, again, they say 1 to 2. I doubled it on a double of 300,000 people. Let me double check myself again, because that was just a... Right now, somebody's running on the calculator, beating both of us to make sure we're accurate.
I'm pretty sure.
We probably have 200 people right now on calculators laughing.
Another thing I wanted to mention, some people commented about the burning, and I wanted you to clarify, like, I talked to you about it just to make sure that we were clear. Uh-huh. And then you let me know that just like anything, it goes off, it can turn right back on. That all depends.
Yeah, exactly.
So they exactly. See themselves in a hole, they could just turn it back on. Let me see elements. See, I want to know. Let's see here. Based off of this.
Security. Yeah, my number. I don't think. I think I'm doing something wrong too.
It's giving you the same thing, right?
Yeah, I'm coming up with like 300 million, but that doesn't sound right.
Well, it's,
but again, I did double it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I did double it.
Okay.
Let's see, 100,000 million billion times 4%. Yeah, I'm coming up with 300 million. Either which way.
Percentage calculator. Let's do that.
Either which way, the point is that's doubled. So. Whatever the percentage of their 1 to 2%, and what was the
it's 0.3%. It's 0.3%
of the population.
Of the population, yeah.
Exactly.
That's what it, that's. I have the percentage calculator up.
Okay, so what's going on either which way to make a point too? What is the Tone Vase? Did you see the video that's Tone Vase with, I think his name was Kim or something, and there was one other guy sitting at the table. Having drinks, discussing basically how the population is going to choose something besides Bitcoin. Have you seen that video yet?
Yes. That they're sitting like in a poker table.
Yeah, like exactly. That's the one.
Yeah, you saw that? Sitting at a poker table, and he's just like, "Oh yeah, it's not going to work," and with like a drink, and then like all the casino coins. No.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought that was pretty. You know, to be honest, I thought it was pretty impressive because he finally was sitting there going, "Okay, Bitcoin's not going to be the one." Maybe well, it's not, a store it's not value. Be the one, it's
for with regulated with government, working with government. Why?
I mean, exactly. In my opinion, that was a huge step for them because they argue constantly all day long the opposite of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either which way, I'm just tossing that out because really he also.
Them. You can't really compare them, really.
Yeah. And because he also, too, he mentions like, you know, the 2%, the population thing that we're discussing. That's kind of what made me think of it to bring it back up.
which is good to touch base on.
Yeah. So either which way, we'll go back into the article. All right. The World Wire is designed to bring the full range of disruptive advantages offered by Ripple while being as easy for banks to adopt as Swift's offerings. IBM and Stellar's World Wire also deftly overcomes one of LeBron's biggest arguments against the likelihood of banks adopting Ripple's technology. Conducting transfers via XRapid means first converting the fiat currency into Ripple's XRP cryptocurrency, then converting this back into fiat currency at the other end of the transfer. The World Wire instead allows any agreed upon digital asset to be used as the intermediary, including stablecoins such as the Stronghold US dollar pegged coin, bank-specific stablecoins such as JP Morgan's recently announced JPM coin could also theoretically plug seamlessly into the World Wire network.
All right, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I need to.
No, you're fine.
I need to show you this because I'm gonna send it to your link. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I sent it to your Twitter link, and I want you to read. They've already tested transferring $3 billion. I'm going to read the article. I want you to read it with me so we're clear. But it says, I'm not sure if anybody has noticed, but over the past 2 weeks, there's been multiple days with 15,000, 25,000 TXs and 30,000, 45,000 OPS. So these are people that are looking at it. And let me see. Wait a second. Stellar volume on the network. I just want you to look at the page and see if you find anything that we haven't seen. Oh, right here. Targeting moving 50 billion of international payments annually. Stellar network offer the Lightnet to offer low cost and 4 billion lives. Yeah, so they can do big volume too.
I don't know if we've discussed it, but I'm not entirely sure if we've discussed it, but
volume.
The other thing too is like we're on the standard average, like for XRP is designed to do like 1,500 transactions per second. I mean, don't get me wrong, and over in 2017 they're doing over 100,000. We've gone through many articles on that, but the standard is 1,500, where the XLM standard is 4,000.
Yeah.
You know, the transaction per second is
Fast. I sent you one of the articles. Remember you were looking for information on that just to be sure?
Yeah.
So yeah, they are working. I mean they're working on that, but they can push it was made to push high volume, so you can do both pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, if they need to push, it's gotta push, but I think they're gonna part. That's why they burned half their stuff too, because they don't need it.
Yeah. I think we're going to find out a lot this year. I believe this year, next year is going to be, you know, for the early adopters, the early investors, I think it's going to be pretty significant. I mean, as much as I want to get excited about stuff, I'm very cautious because I don't want to get somebody like FOMOing in. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you're doing it, like, you know, if you're being smart, you know, you have a budget. Okay, here's my investment budget. That's one thing if you're FOMOing in, but I just don't want to FOMO somebody in, like, as we get excited or they follow us. It's still, at the end of the day, their responsibility. There's so much exciting stuff we're learning.
It's called passion. That's what we have, passion.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go back through some
of this. Go ahead.
We analyzed the announcement of JPM Coin in a recent article, along with Garlinghouse's argument that a system of such bank-specific proprietary currencies will be grossly inefficient compared to a shared open network like the provided Ripple's XRP blockchain. In a recent interview with Cheddar, IBM's head of blockchain, Jesse Lund, was clear on the differentiation between the World Wire and JPM Coin. World Wire is aiming to introduce fungibility of digital assets, while stablecoins that are much more broadly accessible than JPM Morgan Coin in-house blockchain-based payment solution. Speaking with Finder, Lund explained that a large number of banks are expected to be part of the network from launch. He stated, we're going to be supporting more than 50 countries out of the gate, 30 to 40 currencies, and enough market makers to drag along 30 or 40 banks. So we'll have a significant portion of the world covered. We've got letters of intent with several banks around the world to support and issue digital currencies, stablecoins, and other currencies. And this was, I think we shared that video, didn't we? On the last.
No, we haven't shared this one. Well, the one we shared at the end of the video was the one that we was talking about, the World Wire.
Okay.
So this one's completely different, but I will share this one. I'll just pull the link. You send me the link, and I'll go ahead and include this video in here.
Okay. And then I'll finish down. Obviously, this right here was just a a date for the article. In a recent letter to shareholders, the IBM CEO, Virginia Romiti, described IBM blockchain as the global leader in improving trust and transparency across business networks by creating a new way for clients to share and secure data with more than 500 blockchain-based client projects and more than 85 active blockchain networks under its umbrella. The same letter details various ways in which IBM's new technologies are being adopted by major banks, including implementation of its developing AI tech. Leading European bank BNP Paribas is given as an example of a major bank working to incorporate IBM's AI into its services. As regards WorldWire and the IBM Stellar partnership, underscores how closely IBM is already working with leading world banks. But it does beg the question, why does IBM need to work with Stellar?
Well, they still, I mean, why? Okay. Have you found any article, any proof, anything that Ripple is actually working on to bring that to retail?
I haven't found anything for their retail except for...
Because I've looked and I went through everything and I haven't seen not one article, nothing. Because they're not really going for that. They want to focus on one thing. They can't focus on both. If they could have a currency that can focus on one and do both in case of an emergency or in case anything happens, why not? Well, right now their main focus is to get all the partnerships around the world, meaning central banks and get the approval, you know? Turn it on. It's a switch. It's just like anything else. Just like I was explaining to Matt Morrow the other day, nodes. Does anybody know how nodes work? Because I've worked with nodes, personally.
Oh, that's cool.
Nodes, you know?
Maybe tell them a little bit about that.
Well, nodes are pretty much, it's an upgrade. When you take a product out and it has a node within it, that product is already 25 years in advance when it comes to upgrades. So for like that, it reduces the cost of having to upgrade the actual system. You know, you can do little things to it. But for example, a lot of people don't know that. I don't even know if I'm supposed to be saying this on. Yeah, because this is like serious stuff. Okay, you know what? We'll take a little break on that, but because this is like has to do with like.
We can come back to that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Let's just skip it. That's good enough.
You need a private session. You know. Yeah. But no, it's a serious business. And I'll just know that everything's upgraded in advance. When you think that something's just like this year and that's it, no. It's if you're a big company, then you want to make something massive to that scale, you have to be backed up years ahead. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. Do you understand where I'm getting at or no?
I understand. I mean, we can get into this another time.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just
just know that it's notes.
Yeah. It's notes. All right. So let's keep going with what you were saying about this. I actually wanted to research the bank and see if they actually partnered up. Because when was this article? I want to see what's going on with that. Where did that end off? Because where's the date on this article?
January 6, 2020.
Oh, this is recent.
Yes, yeah, very recent.
While you keep reading, I'm going to dig in and see if I can find anything on that bank.
Okay. Lund mentioned two keywords when explaining IBM's choice of Stellar to find transparency and scalability. In her letter to shareholders, Romiti mentions making use of open source protocols as being a key part of businesses, successfully building a successful hybrid approach to next generation digital solutions. With WorldWire, IBM are practicing what they preach and adopting the open source Stellar network as the backbone of their payment solution. Transparency is one of the big selling points of an open and decentralized blockchain network like Stellar. Transactions are broadcast to the blockchain network and agreed upon by other network participants. Unlike the proof-of-work mining model used to verify transactions on networks such as Bitcoin, Stellar uses a consensus mechanism called Federated Byzantine Agreement, the FBA. A full technical breakdown can be read here. There's a link to click. With the key way FBA works being that each consensus node on the network has a list of other nodes it considers important and only verifies a transaction once these trusted nodes have verified the same transaction. Once the transaction verification has spread across enough of the network, the transaction is considered settled. Just going to click that really quick to see what it gets into with the FBA. Because if I'm not mistaken, that was the major thing that Jed, when he created XRP or co-created, that he said was the major difference between that and Stellar.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Global ATM Alliance, do you know what that is?
The name off the top of my head, but I can't define it. Go ahead.
No, it's just other participating banks are the same banks that we were. It's the United Kingdom, United States, China, Germany. There's specific names and banks, but Mexico, Ukraine, Canada. These are the ATMs of the world. What does that even mean? I gotta look into that.
It should have. Did it describe it more, or that's just all it said?
Well, what it says is, I'll read it. So it says, BNP Paribas is a member of the Global ATM Alliance, a joint venture of several major international banks that allows customers of the banks to use their ATM cards or check cards at another bank with Global ATM Alliance, with no ATM surcharges when traveling internationally.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Other participating banks are the ones that I told you. So I guess, okay, I see what that is. But now everybody knows what that is.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. That was good ad.
I want to see how deep it goes because that's one of the banks. So maybe, you know, retail.
Yeah, for some reason that link was a dead link. You were busy when I checked it. But if I'm not mistaken, the FBA was the Federated Byzantine Agreement. And I believe that was the additional change that Jed had made from XRP to XLM.
On the consensus. The Federal Byzantine Agreement System.
Was that the, know the answer to that? Is that was the difference, right? Between the two, his major change?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. So do you want me to read it for, do you want me to read it or?
Yeah, go right into it. Go ahead. Define the FBA for them.
This section introduces the Federated Byzantine Agreement, FBA model. Like none Federated Byzantine Agreement, FBA, addresses the problem of updating replicated state such as a transaction ledger or certificate tree. By agreeing on what updates to apply, nodes avoid contradictory irreconcilability states. Yeah. We identify each update by a, well, let's just go, because I mean they have this all like mixed up. Challenge number honest nodes, hence traditional majority base. I mean, here doesn't really, you won't be able to understand it.
That's okay. I that's good enough because it's,
I need a simple breakdown because these are all like formula words.
Yeah, know? it's technical, right. And I think that, you know, that was the major thing that he was stating in his interview, that was a major change separating the difference between Stellar and XRP.
There has to be a simplified definition for it because a normal person's not going to understand it.
Yeah, and that kind of thing, though, really isn't for normal people. That's more because no one's really going to, again, even know what SWIFT is. And that's been around for, what, like 47 years or something like that?
Yeah.
And SWIFT, people don't care. They're just going to go to the bank and they're going to ship their money. Just like they're not going to care about Stellar, XLM, or XRP either. They're not even going to know what Ripple is or ODL is. They're just going to know, okay, I went to my bank and holy cow, they got it in 3 seconds today. That used to take 3 days. Correct. But we're really just talking to the investor. And then even the investors, if you go into those details, unless they're, you know, a tech, they're not going to really have a clue what we're saying anyway. I mean, they're not going to be able to even repeat it. They're technical.
I really struggled with that one. I was like, hey, yeah.
You did good. That's I've read through that. That's pretty technical anyway.
It is. No, I gotta reread that, but I'm gonna find a simplified version of it.
Okay. I'm gonna keep going.
Go ahead.
And in my opinion, maybe there is, but I don't think, just again, adding in my opinion, I can't see anyone who has XRP other than the people who've been scared out of it, who would disapprove of XLM. I think if somebody knows enough, did any kind of research, they're going to probably like both of them and understand they will have to work together. They're not competitors, you know?
Yes.
But again, I'll leave that. I'm sure I'll probably hear some disagreements in the comments. But as far as, you know, I have to add that little asterisk that even I, you know, thought it was dead until recent.
But to me,
the way I look at it is like, after all the stuff we're learning, and by the time we finish this little series, I mean, I'm pretty sure people are going to realize, okay, it's not dead. The media kind of misled and misinterpreted a lot of stuff with intent for whatever their agenda may be. It's not for me to determine or decide or even define. I'm just here to say it's not dead. And it's running a lot of banks around the world are using it.
Here, so that I can, maybe you can read it a little better than I can. Just so they get an idea. I mean, I don't want to just say I can't read it and give up. The last link that I sent you it's pretty much the consensus. All you have to do is scroll down and you'd be able to get it.
Okay, let me see.
Unless you don't want to shift from the actual article, you can go ahead. I just want for them to kind of like get an explanation maybe from you, you know, since you're the master of disaster.
Let me see. Let me just see really quick. Might as well just do it.
Yes.
So they can say, I have no idea what you just said, and I probably will never care to know that, but thanks for sharing.
Hey, there's a lot of people. It's not only new people here, okay? It's people that just come to refresh.
Yeah. Okay, you got me the full stellar.org.
Yes, yeah. So you can just leave it open there. You never click on the link, though. Is it difficult?
Yeah, I was trying to type it in. I just didn't want to.
Okay, so I mean, I'm not
going into that account.
I'm not going to stop you anymore. So when it comes to like trying to pull links up, I'll just do it before.
I'll. Let's see. I'm not sure why it's not letting me see all of that top link. To me, that's the thing I'm curious most about. I don't know why it's letting me.
Okay, well, I mean, I have the best. Actually, I could probably put it to where it's just voice that it explains it.
I can do this really quick too. I'll have to figure out a way that it doesn't open up my like account whenever I check it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's all. We'll sort that out later. I can pull this up anyway. Okay. The Federated by Zine agreement. Or actually, I think I saw a better one right when I clicked on that link.
I'm trying to find, while you're doing that, I'm trying to like find another way of actually explaining it.
Actually, this one's probably pretty good. And this one's going to be good for everyone.
Okay.
A Federated Byzantine Agreement, the FBA, is a form of Byzantine fault tolerance where each Byzantine general is responsible for their own blockchain. A Federated Byzantine Agreement, the FBA, is used for its high throughput, network scalability, and low transaction cost. Notable cryptocurrencies using the Federated Byzantine Agreement, the FBA, include Stellar and Ripple. I mean, right there, you can just see they're working together. You know what I mean?
I actually have it on voice. I mean, I have it on so they can hear it too. The actual full explanation.
Oh, perfect. Stellar was the first cryptocurrency to successfully implement a safe and secure Federated Byzantine Agreement, the FBA, even though FBA consensus mechanism was pioneered by Ripple. It's just, I mean, they're so intertwined. You can't really separate the two until you know what they do. And you have Ripple Institutional Wholesale, and you have Stellar focused more on the retail. Of course, they can expand on that, but that was their main focus. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
Yeah.
So the Federated Byzantine Agreements, the FBA, require nodes to be known and verified ahead of time before users request any performance from the FBA. the nodes also choose who they trust, and eventually quorums of nodes emerge from decisions made by the individual's nodes making up the FBA network. A quorum is the minimum number of nodes required for a solution to be correct. And after a quorum forms, the block is validated and included on the blockchain. The FBA uses quorum slices, which are subsets of quorums that can convince specific nodes operating on the network to agree with them.
While you were reading that, I'm here looking at Luminauts.com. It's all about the ecosystem, education, the assets, the protocol changes, which we'll put in the description so like that they can take a look at all the information and how it works.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll zip through the rest of this article so we can move past it. Each one has so much good stuff that we tend to get sidetracked. And it's really, to me, that's good, because if you're going through an article and there's nothing further to think about or research in there, then there's probably not a whole lot going on with that coin.
You shipped
on. You know what I mean? Yeah. But on this, man, there's so much that we're like, wait. That connects to something else, and we have to keep another discussion. It'll probably make more sense to people who don't do the research we do, like this year, as things start opening up publicly and not having so many NDAs and so much hidden networks, you know?
So many hidden, yeah.
Let's see. I'm not sure if we went into this. If we did, I'll repeat it again. As for scalability, Stellar's website claims that it can settle transactions within 2 to 5 seconds, again, matching basically that of XRP. The network has also been designed to enable transactions between all kinds of currencies and assets by matching orders within the network. Chains of transactions can automatically be created so that if you want to convert US dollars to euros, but nobody is looking to do the opposite, a chain of transfers could be created between other currencies until a path to the desired currency is found. And then their article question was, IBM and Stellar a threat to Ripple and XRP? I'll toss in my opinion, no. I'll say they're like assisting each other and what the other is lacking or less focused on, in my opinion. Sort of like they complete each other, in my opinion. That's the way I view them from all the research I've done. It's almost like if you're going to take over an entire financial system, in my opinion, you throw XLM and XRP, Ripple and Stellar at them, and boom, you have a full complete system. That's my opinion.
I'm gonna take a picture of this real quick, and I'm gonna send it to you so like that you don't have to go through. Excuse me, let me pause this real quick. I'm sorry. Hey, sorry about that interruption, guys, but have to deal with the situation. Go ahead.
All right, and back into the article. There is no doubt that IBM and Stellar's WorldWire is direct competition for Ripple's XCurrent and XRapid cross-border payment solution. Interestingly, Stellar founder Jed McCaleb also played a role in Ripple's creation. McCaleb first made his name with eDonkey, a Napster-style peer-to-peer file-sharing network, after coming under legal threat from the recording industry. McCaleb created Mt. Gox, which would quickly become the world's leading Bitcoin exchange. McCaleb sold Mt. Gox in 2011 before the infamous hack that resulted in the theft of 850,000 Bitcoin. McCaleb created Ripple Labs soon after selling Mt. Gox, but departed from Ripple in 2014. As founder of Ripple, McCaleb received 20 billion XRP, which he has been steadily selling off over the past few years. The sell-off has sometimes been controversial, especially at the outset, as his announced intention to sell resulted in an immediate 40% decrease in XRP's price back in 2014. After some legal dispute between McCaleb and Ripple, he was allowed to regularly sell a portion, equivalent to 0.75% of XRP's daily trading volume, according to the Wall Street Journal. McCaleb was selling as much as 752,076 XRP per day in August of 2018. Got a question. I don't know the answer to this, whether you do, or maybe somebody drops it in the description below or whatever, or in the comments. Is he still selling? Does he have any more XRP?
He does.
Does he?
Yeah.
Any idea how much?
He got sued. He got sued by Ripple because he was, they were scared that he was going to make the because he had so much coin. So he started dumping, like, I think it was like $145 million worth every year.
I do remember they came to an agreement. that's part of the suit, where he had a limited amount that he could sell.
Yeah, but
I wasn't sure if he had any left.
Yeah. Isn't it convenient though? Like, they gave him that amount. He left. He partnered up, and then he made Stellar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had all the money in the world to do whatever the hell he wanted.
Literally.
Why wasn't it like, yo, run away and go do what you do? You know, yeah. I mean, it only makes sense. I mean, it only took a year after they gave him that coin, a year to Chris Larson. Supposedly they bumped heads. They didn't see the same vision. I mean, I read the whole article.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's so many things that are uncovered in there. It's a lot of stuff that's missing, you know?
Yeah, a lot of it doesn't make sense. It
doesn't make sense at all. I mean,
I think if you're an XRP investor, it's a huge frustration.
You can't crash with each other when you already have somebody that's pretty much in the institutions. The institutions is really what matters, man, because the institutions is really the people that call the shots.
Yeah, they have the money.
You can't compete with that. You can't compete with that. Why would you release somebody that's going to compete with you like that?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And then supply them with 20 billion XRP.
Come on.
And now they're your competitor. See, that's why I laugh at these articles here, whether it's the author. You know, we're covering the news. That's what we do. We cover the news and we discuss it. We find something that sets off a thought, and then that's where we deep dive and we share.
I mean, we're not always going to find something crazy like we did last time, but we will cover it and we'll share our opinions, because based off of that, you can't really get facts.
Yeah. And to me, it's laughable. I don't even see it as FUD. It's laughable. Whether the guy did it in purpose or he really believed it, I'm not sure on that. I'm not even going to assume. But yeah, I mean, you have to wonder, going off what you just said, Perez, it's mm-hmm. like, you design XRP. I mean, there's no joke. It's obvious. I love them both, and I think you're paralleling the same page. But you design XRP. You have a dispute. I'm just trying to keep it simple. You design XRP. Mm-hmm. Now you have a dispute with the team.
With Chris Larson, which I'm still trying to figure out how he's a whole co-creator.
Yeah.
We have to dig into him, because he's supposedly a major part, even of Poly, he's supposed to be a major part of it.
Yeah, and Chris Larson has done a lot of things. Like, you had the Cuba Wall Street movement. He's actually done a lot of things for people as far as financial things are concerned.
Can you give us some examples?
One of the biggest, you know,
shift a little bit, but so they get to know who's really the team behind this, because.
Yeah, we'll go into him. Let me toss this really quick before I'm going to lose focus. You know what I mean? You design this one,
mm-hmm.
the XRP. You have a conflict with the team. Now you leave and design the twin, right? Not only do you leave and let's say this is true, you create a competitor. Okay, now you left to create a competitor. Now, why would the person you're competing with fund you with 20 billion XRP? Now you're literally funded. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So we know there's a lot of obvious missing, because it doesn't even add up to common sense.
So they said, you know what I think happened here? It went from XRP, right? Hey, must be the money. And then they were like, oh man, we didn't think about retail. Then Chris Larson was like, look, you know what? Fly, Pelican, fly. Go start your other company. Well, don't worry. We'll give you everything you need.
See, now that makes a little more sense. That gives a little more answers.
It does. I mean, this simple explanation right here.
Absolutely.
Makes complete and utter sense, because how convenient it is that XRP was made first.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there's no other coin that can do retail. So what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Create XLM.
Yeah. And I know there's the dispute, you know, is it a split or is it a part of XRP? You have, yes, it is. No, it isn't. I mean.
It's a fork of XRP. When you change the protocol in any consensus, that is considered a fork of whatever it is. People have said no and have proved them wrong, because the definition is there.
Exactly. And that's what's the interesting thing. And what did you find from the, you know, let's just make a point. Let's go back to Bitcoin for a second. Mm-hmm. You have a fork in what? Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin SV.
Mm-hmm. You have the one that I actually dove into, because I don't want to talk about the other ones because I haven't
really. Okay, let's just say
because then I don't want SV. I don't want to say something that I don't know. So,
okay.
BSV. Bitcoin, period. I was covering Dash. And Dash.
Okay, that's the one it was, Dash.
Yes, is a fork of Bitcoin. Everything is the same. They just changed the formula. So what they did was they made it faster because now you're not going through the miners. You're talking about hash. You're not going through the miners. You're going through nodes that they have, master nodes, they call them. So they make it instant. Instant payments. You know, that's why Bitcoin, you know, it takes forever for it to get to you. 10 minutes. And if it's a whole coin, it can take up to, 2 hours? 2 hours, 3 hours? And they tell you max 4. So you never really know when you're going to get it exactly. But if it's portions of it, then it's fast. You know, you'll get it maybe 10 minutes, 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I came in through Bitcoin, and it's still... Even portions, I mean, could take 30, 45 minutes.
And even
it was, and that was fast.
And Dash, when I covered it, I mean, Dash is freaking awesome because, well, in my opinion, they even work off a different algorithm and everything. Like it's the same coin, just upgraded pretty much. The privacy is there. I mean, their marketing is great. They're in Venezuela. I mean, what's going on in Venezuela?
Yeah.
They got the government that you can't trust your money in a bank because they can come and take it at any time or in a business or anything. What do? Cryptocurrency. You know, you can't run away. You can't run away with all your money, but you can run away with a ledger, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It only makes sense. And not only that, but you can't trace it. So they can't attach that to you in any way, shape or form. Or if you want a politician to win and you want to fund something, what do?
Yeah.
You send it secretly. You know, these are governments that don't have like the human rights that we do. In all honesty, you know, and they treat their people like. But we'll get far from that. Anyway, we're shifting. But regardless, yeah, that's what a fork is. I mean, it's an upgrade, pretty much. It's an upgrade of whatever it was prior. Like, look at Ethereum Classic. Ethereum Classic. When I went through it, the only reason was because they had a loophole that was leaking money, and nobody really pinned it to anything. They lost about $138 million, you know, before they got upgraded because they needed to fix that loophole and nobody was knowing where it was draining from.
Yeah. I didn't mean to get distracted from that, but I knew you would have some good examples to share for the listeners. I think that was a good example to bring it back for that to make a lot more sense coming back to the Ripple and to the Stellar, the XLM and XRP. You can see, you know, once they had the fork off there, it even became faster. The standard stock, I'm going to call it, speed of XRP, which I absolutely adore, is 1,500 per second. Obviously, we know it's gone over 100,000. It can scale even higher. But the stock for stock, you have 1,500 versus XLM's 4,000. So,
all right,
we'll move on a little bit here.
But to prove a point there, I mean, anytime you fork something, it's usually for an upgrade. So that's why this makes more sense, which is why he wanted me to give examples. You don't fork something just because you want to fork it. It doesn't work that way. You gotta have some sort of either, you have to have a formula, a reason, change the consensus. They can look very similar and you change two things and that's it. It's a fork. But you're only doing that to upgrade. You're not doing that to move back. I mean, when have you seen a fork that does that? But other than that, go ahead and let's go ahead and shift in the article again.
The current Ripple CEO, Brad Garlinghouse, took his position in 2015, the year after McCaleb abruptly departed from his role as CTO. Understandably, given the legal disputes surrounding McCaleb's XRP sell-off, Ripple and Stellar rarely make mention of any competition between each other. But both have been much more forthcoming in their intention to replace SWIFT as the world leader in cross-border payments. I'm going to stop right there for one sec. Excuse me. At the beginning of this article, or this simple little section of the article, it said it was competition, right? And we were like, that's laughable. Now, this is more accurate right here of the more truth. It even says right here that they're not competition, that they're working together.
And
to replace SWIFT, right?
Yes. And then remember
that is a lot more, you know, that's a, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. That's a lot more, I would say, leaning towards accuracy.
Okay. I remember a couple of days ago where there was a huge article about them reuniting like $38 million to run the light network for for Stellar to take over the southeast portion of Asia.
Oh, okay. Yes, I do. The Asian. Swift. Yes.
You remember that?
Yes. Yes.
That's huge.
Absolutely.
And right there, I mean, they're breaking it down for you. They gotta take down Swift one piece at a time in order to conquer it. Because it's an outdated system, but when there's money involved, it's a lot harder than you think.
Yeah. And we might, this show might take a little bit longer. And I mean, we're getting through article, but there's so much information. Maybe at the time this was written, or actually this is very recent. So he absolutely knows how important this was. That's why he put every single line. But I mean, this to me is huge. It says right there, Ripple and Starley. How about that? Ripple and Stellar rarely make mention of any competition between each other, but both have been much more forthcoming in their intention to replace Swift as the world leader in cross-border payments. And again, I love like your simple little explanation. It was perfect. Hey, go do your thing. Go do retail. that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes perfect sense.
It's in a way where people kind of understand it without going so deep into it. Because people really, they want a simple overview. They don't want to get too technical. And, you know, for the people that like the technical stuff, we'll eventually get technical. But for now, it's just so much information. It really is.
It's so much.
To cover it all. But, and another thing that I wanted to talk to you about was Garlinghouse. I did a little bit of research on him. He's really, you know what he is? He's a business guy that deals with volume, convincing masses. He worked with Yahoo. He worked with AOL, and that was his main thing was working with masses, working with high volume amounts of people, coming up with solutions for that. So you're dealing with 50 million people. You're dealing with now, that would be the ideal person. Going from the VP of Yahoo to running with AOL to running with UFitPay. So he had the knowledge already, but you got to deal with the masses and you got to give the masses what they want and what they require. And that's a good marketing skill that he's been putting out. And this is the reason why XRP, everybody knows about it within the crypto market, you know, even those that are not even interested in it. It's because of that guy right there. That guy just knows how to hit it on the head, period, when it comes to that. He's just like a Sunny Liu, but in China, you know?
Absolutely.
So go ahead. That's all I wanted to mention.
No, that's amazing. Yeah, and thanks for adding that in there. I think that's good.
It's a little kooky.
Yeah, the connections. I mean, it's amazing. We mentioned January's onstage clash between Garlinghouse and Swift CEO Gott Lebrandt at the outset of his article. As explained in an article covering that event, Swift and Ripple have been in a near constant war of words for the past few years. IBM Stellar's World Wire also clearly has Swift in its crosshairs, without mentioning Swift by name. The opening paragraph of the IBM WorldWire webpage is clearly taking aim at the establishment payment network. And we've shared that if we're there on stage, and it's actually pretty funny.
Do you remember this part?
API.
API.
Every time you do that, that's amazing. I love it. I can't get enough.
But yeah, that was pretty funny, what the article just discussed with Brad and LeBrant on stage. That was pretty funny.
Yeah,
The girl interviewing said, you know, Brad, you've talked about taking over Swift. And Brad looks at her and kind of gets a little young kid grin on his face. And then he turns to LeBron and said, yes. And we've also talked about partnering with them, too. Do you want to discuss that right now, LeBron? And he's like, you know, maybe somewhere in the future here. It was so funny to watch his face on stage.
When you do your research, it all feels like a show. It all feels like a stage. Okay, today, we got to see like enemies. Like, you know how when you watch or you market a fight or something, you know how they have to like, oh, I hate you.
Yeah, exactly.
And then at the end, they're like, oh, I love you.
Hey, bro, we're going to Taco Bell. We're going to go get some McDonald's later.
There's a little dog.
Oh, come on. You beat me up pretty hard on that on stage, man. Come on. You could have taken it a little easier.
Go have a coffee, bro. It's the same thing. you got to be able to if you're competitors, then you shift markets. I mean, you put value into one thing and then you put value into another. You have completely split thoughts about markets, and now that's why all the money floods in, you know?
And yeah, absolutely.
It's a strategy. You take over Southeast. I'll take over the U.S. We're already established here. You know? Fly, Pelican, fly. You know? But let's go ahead and you wanted to add anything else about what you read right now?
No, that was pretty much it. I as reading the article, I just had the vision of the video pop across my mind, and it was, I love seeing Brad. There's a lot of, like, I love he sets up his perfect posture, his like feet up on the little high part of the chair, and his hands like neatly tucked in his lap, and he smiles like, I know something you don't know.
Always.
I know something you don't know.
But you know what? He's
I literally imagine him saying that in my head.
I said, hold on, because I really got to share this with you. I really got to share this. Look at an article that he wrote. This is how you know
okay.
that this is pretty insane. He says, it's certainly not a simple thing to keep our 350 million users happy. The first thing is you have to fundamentally understand what users care about the most. This is before he was working for a Ripple. And then it says, too often business people try to deliver the coolest, most whiz bang widgets appeal to 1% of users. So basically whatever's in at the time is usually to that 1%, because you see it all around you. But the main focus is the mainstream, right? So then he says, you have to understand what the mainstream users care about the most. I think it helps that I am from Kansas. So he's basically making it a little joke, but he's dealing with 350 million users. So when he says something like this, you got to like really dissect it, which I'm going to. But that's a lot of people for him to talk. So like, you know, don't give them what's in style. Give them something that's going to be simple and that they want. That everybody wants, the mainstream stuff. And he's doing that with XRP.
Absolutely.
Which is why I wanted to share that.
Yeah, so, yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
The other thing that for me, I think who's seen his interviews or spoke to him is immediately going to recognize when he gets that little excited, he does a little.
Well, it has to do with
the little eyebrow thing, the little eye lift.
That's the feminine. That's the feminine side, and then you have like the. there's really a language to that.
Yeah.
It's you have your feminine side and you have your masculine side, and then the feminine side is the one that's always like jumping around. If you notice, David Schwartz does the same thing.
Yeah. You know. I love the little eyelash thing, eyebrow.
That's the process of the mind, but you know what?
It's so funny.
These guys that went to Swift, what's that event that Ripple throws?
Swell.
So the guys that went to Swell, they were talking about how in one of the videos that I saw while they were over there, they mentioned how they saw Brad like practicing and like looking at himself in the mirror and like practicing the same speech over and over and over and over and over again. You know, people do that to practice.
But yeah, absolutely.
He was so confident, and he was just like putting on his jacket and saying his speech, his little smile, his eyebrow, you know, like that's skill, bro. You know, you're talking to major, you're talking to the leaders. Like there's no getting around it. And now with Devo, what is it? Davos coming up? Davos, people got the misconception of Davos. What's your conception of Davos?
I have a lot of hopes, a lot of thoughts on the Davos. I really don't know. I think.
No, what do you know about Davos? Like, what's your belief in what it is that they do and why they reunite pretty much smartest scientists, the smartest,
the financial world.
Smartest financial side. You know, then they have the people that care about the trees and the hippies. And it's not about that. What they do is they gain the best of the best, including something that you would think is small, but it's actually a big impact. So they get the best of the best. They put them together. And they have to come up with a solution towards a problem. It's a way of them getting together to try to advance technology, reduce pollution, so that we have a world to live in. And that's the reason for them getting together. It's not because of conspiracies and, oh my God, everybody's going to die. No, that's what it's based off of, and that's what it's been You know, everybody comes together and comes up with ideas to better the world, you know, and whatever means possible, you know. But if it's evil, it's evil. If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. But at the end of the day, it's to save us as humanity.
Yeah.
To make it better, more efficient, without ruining the earth. That's what Devils is about. That's why
that's awesome.
That's why people get confused. Like, oh my God, yeah, because all those conspiracies. Nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I never get into those things. I mean, you can have the same story telling facts or just telling details, and it doesn't have to go into that.
What I tell people all the time is if you seek it, you will find it.
Yeah.
Period. If you go looking for that, you're going to, you're going to connect the dots, because that's just the way life works. If you seek it, you'll find it. You know, keep it simple.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I think we're getting close to finishing this article. During their Paris FinTech Forum discussion, LeBron told Garlinghouse that Swift had conducted the biggest blockchain proof of concept outside of IBM. He also stated that it was much easier for banks to integrate with APIs. APIs. Sorry. Jeez. Last time, I just had to do that.
That was amazing. That's it. No, it gets me excited. It gets me pumped.
Into improved versions of the Swift payment network, than it would be to switch an entirely new system like Ripple's. And LeBron also argued that banks were not prepared to gamble with the volatility of moving funds into a cryptocurrency, however briefly. Garlinghouse also argued back that the future belonged to truly decentralized open networks, and that comparing an improved system of Swift APIs to Ripple's network was like comparing a horse and buggy to a Ferrari. And he did say that on stage, and that was pretty amazing.
That's a businessman. I mean,
put
him in a room and see if he can make a formula for you. Well, he can read with the best of them, and he can do public speaking with the best of them, and he can
absolutely.
But put him to
he and David Schwartz both. I enjoy, like, I can just listen to those guys for hours. It's amazing, and they're so different. Like Brad is so full of energy that it's amazing.
I love Brad. And, you compare him to any of the best public speakers, and he's right there next to him, because he keeps his cool, and he acknowledges you when you're wrong, but he doesn't even mention it. It's like he gets it because you see his expression, but he kind of just keeps going. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's get it out and go. He gets that time is money.
Yeah.
He has that concept. Okay, I'm going to be with you here, but then I got to be here and I got to be here. So it doesn't matter whether you say something that he doesn't agree with or anything. Like, he doesn't fight you, nothing. Time is money. He lets it out, but he lets it out clear, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you realize, most of his speeches, he says the same things over and over. Just, he kind of, you know, he puts different parts here, different parts there, but it all leads to the same thing.
And yeah, rehearsed.
Exactly. I love his Napster speech, you know? He says it every time.
Yeah.
His Napster, you know the speech, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well,
Swift being the Napster and XRP and Ripple being the Spotify.
Spotify and all the new technology coming out. I mean,
yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and he uses the horse and buggy, and that's pretty funny. I mean,
I know,
LeBron just sitting there, and he can't defend it.
He trashes in a classy way. Like, he trashes you in a classy way, and that's the professional world.
He's very classy. Yeah, I like his energy. All right, we're almost done. Sorry, guys. This is the first few articles were the longest, and that's why they're taking so long. So IBM, now IBM and Stellar are offering something that answers all of the issues LeBron and Garlinghouse identified with the other payment solution. WorldWire is designed to connect seamlessly with banks' APIs. It has the benefits of an open network without the volatility risks of moving funds into a volatile cryptocurrency. In short, IBM and Stellar are potentially offering a solution that has all the advantage of Swift and Ripple solutions without either of their downsides. And the project is backed by IBM, a trusted computing giant whose name value alone should be enough to get the banks to notice.
Okay, so let me, because you probably know a little more about this, because I haven't really covered it like you have, in the sense that, like, you know, you've covered IBM more than I have. IBM, you know what they say, right? IBM runs on Ripple, and then IBM runs on Stellar, right? Mm-hmm. They can connect both of them together, so they're their path to success, pretty much, because they can't say no to IBM. IBM pretty much creates every single program, every single anything that has to do with computing, they're the ones that are in on it. With any financial system, with any financial institution, with any bank, with it's all IBM. That's why they're so big. That's why they say their name very proud and up in the air. People don't understand that.
Yeah.
They express it themselves. You can see the roadmap. I mean, you could go back. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to do that. Not today, because it'll take a long time. But I'm going to bring back IBM, and I'm going to show you how far they go and how big they grow.
There you go.
And I'll map it.
Maybe do that in a separate, there we go. We were just discussing today, a separate video. Do that. Do IBM.
Yeah.
Make it a separate video so they can connect from this video to a specific, its own video, IBM.
That sounds good. I mean.
Dude, that'd be awesome. That would be even better.
Anything that you guys could tell me to do, I'll do. I mean, I'm all about making content. This is what we're about, right?
But what you stated, they are going to see. And I mean, we're on number 2. Tab of 30 in this, it's going to start going faster, but for some reason these are very slow, but we will get into that. And we're going to show you in these articles that through IBM World, actually directly through WorldWire, that Ripple's XRP and Stellar's XLM are working side by side to make WorldWire work perfectly. You there?
Yeah.
I thought your volume shut off for a second.
Oh, no. I thought you were like concentrated on something. I'm like, whoa.
I saw your hands moving. And that was like in a pause. I thought your mic dropped.
No, I wanted to ask you because I remember
sorry.
When we were covering it. Yeah, I'm looking at you like.
Oh, that was funny.
Are you done?
I wasn't sure if your mic dropped. That was quiet.
No.
And drop. I should have dropped
it. I'm a quiet guy, you know. But. When you you showed me an article one day, I don't know if it was you or somebody else, but I wanted to confirm that with you. How it talks about XLM being a currency that you're not going to be able to see because it's going to be so
invisible. Yes.
Do you have that?
It is in this mix. I'm not exactly sure where, but yes.
Yes, because that right there would be a cookie, because that would explain why you don't hear about XLM. Period.
It's intended to be hidden and invisible. It states it in the article.
But I want you to show the article because a lot of people are going to be like, no, that's not true. Oh, that's why I like to show everything.
We'll do. We'll pull that one out and highlight it.
And we got to show that. So that's one of the big things that I want to show people, because people have no idea how they can, like I said, the whole Coinbase stable coin, they'll never say that XLM is working. Ever, ever. That'll be like the biggest. Why would you have two coins on an exchange that are working with each other?
Yeah. And we have shown we'll get into it throughout all of our information. All of that information will come out. But we did also I've shared on Twitter. I don't know if I officially put it in a video, but I did share on Twitter the Bank of Canada directly, like, you love white paper. On the Bank of Canada, their payments platform, it shows XRP working and Ripple. I think they use Ripple and Stellar, actually, specific by name.
They have to.
In parentheses, they say Ripple. It says Ripple in parentheses XRP. It says Stellar in parentheses XLM. And it shows them working together as cross-border payments and through their, it's stated and it's listed on there. And it's as their, I think they labeled Stellar as the stable coin. They both fell underneath that stable coin category.
You know what? You know why they're working with each other? Because you have, sorry about that. I keep looking at the screen and then you keep looking. So I'm getting confused. But the reason why that's happening is because they are a central bank.
Yeah.
They have I call them all out, didn't I? Last time
One thing I tried to look up yesterday. I was just curious.
Yes.
The BIS, as the video I've shared on Twitter again. We call him the king. That's his title. Augustine. He stated that in Cambodia had successfully tested and tried the CBDCs. And I tried to do a deep search on that and I was unable to get what I was exactly looking for because of the Stellar and Ripple using the XLM XRP to see if I could find openly printed something as those being the specific coins for the Cambodia success. Because that would have been excited, because we already know the CBDCs, you have the wholesale level and you have the retail level. Right. Which, boom, you already have XRP for that next LM.
Do you know the institutions of the world? There's four.
I'll say no. Go ahead.
You don't? Come on, Mr.
Go ahead.
All right. So you got the World Trade Organization.
Okay.
Can you touch base on that?
No.
Do you know what the World Trade Organization is?
I'm blanking. I absolutely am blanking. Ooh.
So
lay it on me.
It's international trades among countries.
Okay.
That's what they're based off. International Monetary Fund. So that's
yeah, the IMF. Okay.
187 member countries. So if you take over the IMF, you got 187 countries.
And who just had that? Christine Ripple. Lagarde.
Well, yeah, Ripple's making deals with Christine Lagarde right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they already signed them papers.
Absolutely.
The papers. So then I also put in here.
But the world trade, that's what Trump is just doing with Japan and China.
Yeah.
And South Korea. Okay. I wasn't sure if there was like something I was missing. It was easier just for you to tell me so then I could be on the same page.
Well, you know what? I wanted to see if, like, you know, maybe Mr. Wise guy over here. You know?
But I will say with the World Trade Federation, the thing that was just signed with China, I'm blanking, was it the 6th or 7th? I'm not sure the date. If I'm not mistaken, the Trade Federation, the deal that was just made in regards to that statement, I believe it goes active on February 14th on Valentine's Day.
And you have two more, though.
So that's huge.
You have two more institutions.
What are the other two?
United Nations.
Okay, the UN. All right.
And regional economic integration, which is U.S. Federal Reserve, European Union Central Bank, and the Bank of England.
Okay.
So central banks.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so I knew them, but I didn't realize like the way they were broken down like that.
Well, now you're not the only one that knows it. Now they all know it.
Hey, this is amazing.
I wrote down some, because I wanted to trace the money, so I had to write down every single central bank, every single bank, and I nailed it. I haven't really touched base on that, but I wanted to get the concept of it, so I'm not talking out of ignorance, you know, like not really knowing something and then feeling uncomfortable talking about it. So you'll notice that if I'm a little shaky about something, I won't really talk much because I want to listen, you know, that's the concept, to learn, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's pretty much it for this article. But I mean, there was so much going on there. Again, we extended it, but it does start speeding up from here because these were I kind of placed them in the front for that reason. Because once you get over that hump, then the rest of the articles start going by fast. But I mean, that's probably, we'll cut it here for tonight. That was like a lot of information.
It was a lot of information. I mean, we made it fun anyway. I kind of
yeah. One thing. Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm saying one thing that's pretty fun. You mentioned something earlier. And it kind of like we were the exact opposite, which I think kind of make it, at least it's fun for us. I hope they're enjoying it. You know, as far as the comments people are too.
Oh,
because
yeah.
When we come into this, I mean, we have like our basic idea. We have a basic plan. But then because the articles are fresh to both of us, it makes it nice. I mean, it's natural. It's fun.
It is natural. And we're coming up with solutions because now we're going to simplify I'm going to XRP him the information and then he's going to be able to XLM it back to me, you know, because that's one of the issues we were having, but now not no more. We found a solution for that.
Yeah. And I think this is good. I like the solution you brought up with
yeah,
to be able to send me information and I can open it.
Yeah. Because I mean, I didn't want to stop the show every time. Which a lot of people probably felt that way. Like, well, why are you stopping it? Boy, keep it going. And trust me, man, the only thing we want is to give you guys content, but it drains you. I mean, how busy are you, Dan? I mean,
oh, man.
He's a busy guy. I'm a busy guy. I mean, we're all busy, but we want to do this. So it means a lot to us. It gets us into what we love. And then once you're out, you're out. You go to bed, you wake up, you go to work, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, like, I think you and I discussed it. I don't know if we ever discussed it, like, on the air, so to speak. But on our each individual shows, we kind of do things a little different. But we wanted to have fun doing this together.
Yes.
But we wanted to be fun for you guys, too. Because, everybody has a specific show, and some people are so perfect and so not that it's not organized, but they're so, like, rehearsed.
Staged.
I think their rehearsed stuff is too – yeah, there you go, staged. I think it's so staged that it's just becomes sterile. It becomes boring.
The idea is we got – so I read the background of the coin. So it's not like I'm going to know the details of the news that's coming out every day. I can't concentrate on both at the same time. So the concept is he deals with daily news on a daily basis. That's what he gives you guys. I deal with other things like the white papers. That's why I have a ton of white papers. A ton. This is not even half of it.
He's not kidding. He has a ton.
Like, I do research for hours and hours and hours and hours. And, you know, once you switch from one coin to the next, to the next, to the next, you're going to start noticing that they're all different, but they're all the same. They're all interconnected somehow. They all have the same concept. Just one's a little faster. One's a little slower. One puffs gas. The other one doesn't. The other one has an algorithm it's things that people don't really care about much.
Yeah. But, and they're never going to know. They're never going to know. Yeah. It's designed that way on purpose. So.
Correct. You got to make something that if you want to make something like, for example, you want to be a doctor, right? Let's say they teach you the entire lingo to be a doctor. They don't talk normal. You know, it's a whole different language. They do that on purpose so that you go to school, so that you learn the lingo. Because, you know, you got doctors that are across foreign countries that it takes 3 weeks to become a doctor. And I've seen it. 2 weeks to become a surgeon. How's that even possible? And they do it, and they're amazing at it.
Yeah.
So they complicate it in order for us not to understand it. And pay the money, pay the school, you know? It's all money. It's all based on money. It's all a business. That's just me.
Yeah.
Right? And you can put that into crypto.
Basically the same thing. Okay. Absolutely. You have some people who are good at, when it comes to school, you have people who are good at, like the educational book learning, and then you have others who are, you know, better at on-hand, on-the-job training, like on-hand physical touch it.
I'm the on-hand physical touch it. Like, if I can learn both ways.
Yeah.
But I learn a lot faster if I'm touching it. That's why if let's say, for example, I'm training for a job, I'll be like, no, I'm going to do it. And I'll put it on the wall, make a hole. Like, I'm not scared. But if I don't do that, then it's harder for me to retain. That's why you see that I always write. I don't type. You don't see me like highlighting anything. No, I write everything down. It's a waste of time. I mean, we got technology. We don't have to, but that's the way I retain it.
Yeah.
So it works differently for everybody.
No, you did good.
All righty, guys. So if you liked this session, it's only going to get better. I know it was a little prolonged, but these are long articles. It's only going to get better. It's going to speed up. And then we're going to bring little highlights, little things. I'm going to add the video that you showed on that article to the end of this video, so they watch it and they forget about the boring part.
Well, not every show is going to be the best. Not every show is going to be the worst. Okay. It's just gonna. So we're going to be definitely different. We're definitely not going to be like any other live show out there.
No, I don't think so. Before we end it, I just give a quick overview of what we covered here. Just a quick little rerun, a little summary.
A little summary. I would say that you have the IBM WorldWire, and you have, you know, my favorite. Let's just go back to this right here. I really enjoyed this one the best. I love this article right here. I think this is the one. I love this right here. Understandably, given the legal disputes surrounding Mikhailov's XRP sell-off, Ripple and Sterler rarely make mention of any competition between each other. The reason I want to focus on that, because there's so many people in the XRP group who argue with the XLM group. They're the same team, guys. Literally, they can't do everything together. One's focused on the top level, like XRP, and one's focused on a lower level, which is XLM. Doesn't mean the price is going to be any different, but in my mind, I feel like the price of XRP has to be like, I use David Schwartz words. David Schwartz says XRP, you know, the design was $10,000 per XRP. That was coming from him, and even stated up to a million. He said, because there's a million drops, correct, as stated by him. At 10,000, he said the first drop was a penny, like 1 cent. If it were a million on the top, then the first drop is a dollar.
Dollar, yep.
You know, people say, why do you, like, a $10,000 XRP, you're crazy, or $1 million XRP, you're crazy. Hey, this is the guy who designed this entire system. That's his example. It's not mine.
You can't transfer that amount of money with what they have as a cap.
Yeah.
You can't. It's impossible. Like, it's impossible. Absolutely. Especially with the ones that are already lost. Like, you got to put into account everything. Okay. So the only reason they made it like that was to be able to run all the cross-border institutions and central banks. Absolutely. That's the reason for it. They don't even have enough for that unless you make it a drop. Now, when you get that into account, you need an XLM in there. You need it. They cannot process all the money, the quadrillions of dollars that I don't know where they're going or where they are. If there's a whale coming out, who cares? Yeah. Point is, it won't be scalable, period.
And think too, I don't know if a lot of people, you know, I'm always looking further ahead, just looking at the next thing. If you know, maybe we should add that in one of these sessions, like, okay, the different levels of the markets. For example, like the size of remittance.
Okay.
And then you have like the size of like commodities and real estate. And then you have the size of, like,
you're talking about
derivatives. Have you seen the little, it's a literal picture you can see.
Yeah.
You have like, you know, your little remittance. It's a tiny little thing. And then you have like your commodities and stocks and bonds. And you have like the derivatives. It's massive. XRP, there's no way on earth it can run all of that.
It can't.
The derivatives alone are enormous. You're talking, I think, oh my gosh, it was between 1.2 and like 2.4 total quadrillion dollars for the total capacity of everything.
And
now imagine, sorry. Go ahead, dive in on that one.
No, but that's putting into account all the losses. It's not like there hasn't been millions lost that they're not going to be able to get anymore, that they're not going to be able to take out. Or even the burn, I mean, like I said, do they really burn it?
Yeah, see, I don't know all that. That one's...
No.
I've never dove into...
That's how they disclose it. And any burn, they disclose it as it's put into a wallet that's untouchable. That's
I understood that. That's so as like, far as I understand.
Exactly.
It's supposedly like locked permanently forever, can never get again, but that you can see it's there so that you know it's there.
Well, how does that make any sense? It exists.
I don't know. And I don't know. I'm not even going to get into that one. If somebody knows, please comment below. That would actually be a good one. I'm sure somebody's a tech guy.
If anybody holds wallets, let me know.
Yeah.
You know, if you got that XLM 50 million, 50 billion, I'm sorry. 50 billion, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 50 billion. It cut half billion, the supply.
Just let me know, you know? I'll take it off your hands quick.
That's a good one. I personally do not have an answer for that. I've spent zero time. Zero. No time whatsoever. Not even a second. If somebody knows that, like clearly understands that, you know, comment below. That would be actually amazing. That would
be a good one, yeah.
Because I'm sure there's a lot of tech people out there. I did IT, but never on the side of designing the actual true software. I did all of the installations.
Java.
No. I can connect everything to make everything run, but I didn't do the side of IT where you're literally designing scripts and all this. The stuff that David Schwartz does, you know?
It's crazy, man. That Java, I don't know. To make it look clear to our eyes, like it's crazy.
Yeah. But I can connect the system. I can build all the hubs and install the wiring and connect the computers and make everything run.
Wow, look at you.
He can spend time doing the software and building the physical computer. I'll build the highway. I'll put the XRP up, so to speak. and the XLMs to make sure they all run together. The Cat 5, Cat 6, fiber optics.
As long as it works and we're making profit, who cares?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's the way every business works, man. Like really honestly, at that scale, they need all the help they could get. It's just like a contractor. You know, they get a deal to work all around the country, but now they have to go out and find the people that are able to do this work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same deal. Everything has a purpose.
I agree. Really quick.
Yeah.
It's not financial advice. Oh, it's no, for it's entertainment not. Purposes Definitely. Only. You guys remember that, you know? Everybody be smart. I don't want to go into that. You know, you're old enough, you're wise enough. If you're watching the show, we don't do anything crazy, but it's still an adult show, you know? Just be smart. Think about it. Don't overinvest where you're – there's no sense in unnecessary stress. And the greatest stress anybody can have is putting themselves in a financial burden unnecessarily. I know this is a great opportunity, but I'm going to say something that's – it's not popular with the communities, any of the communities. Mm-hmm. It may take time. Obviously, we know this year is going to happen, but it may be the end of the year.
You're talking to the XRP community? Because if you're talking to the XRP community, just the XRP community – we've been waiting forever, man. Like,
yes,
we
since 2017 in December. Remember, the XRP goes last and it goes fast. It goes strong, it goes long. You know what I mean? The whole thing with during that whole Bitcoin, it launched. That was a little earlier in the year, but then you had Q4, XRP took off. Mm-hmm. It overextended into the following month. And finished up its peak in January. But in my opinion, in my personal research, it's not popular because it's too long. Okay. There's a four-year cycle. I count from when it began because obviously that was the first all-time high. 2009, 2013.
Yeah, it's 4 years.
2017, 2021. The maturity from their standpoint, they've stated in their own words, full market maturity, 2025. And I always follow up with the next following year, 2029. Because if you think of like the internet, if you think of Amazon, all of the
major
Microsoft, the whole internet boom, you have all those years it builds up at each peak cycle, and then you had the full maturity, and it was always that next immediate cycle.
You know,
they kind of stopped counting because that was the huge, like,
you know what it's called,
final, you know,
it's called the happening.
Yeah, and the four-year cycle actually does run right around the coincide with that happening.
Yeah, and even
look, not so much the exact date, but it does coincide with the dates, the years,
the alts, and the safety coins. It doesn't matter what coin it is. When you have a bull run,
yeah,
like the bull is running up. every coin is going to go up. I don't care what it is. It's going to go up. Now, of course, oh my God, you're going to make more money on this one, on this one, on this one. But if you have a coin that you buy at 0.000005 and you buy a million of them, it goes up to a penny. How much is that?
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot of money. So if you're in one of these coins where, oh my God, that's it, it dumped and you don't know what to do with it, like me, I still have Ncash and Faster. And the other day, Ncash started boosting. They took it off the exchange on Binance, but they're still selling it, right? So when this market goes up, I have 11,000 of them. If it goes up to whatever it goes up, I'm gonna sell it as long as I make a profit. But I've been holding it since I started, you know. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I slept on it. I slept on the market for a year, and the bull run came, and I lost money. But that's not. I don't care about that because is it really lost?
It's not still, until you sell it.
It's still fluctuating, right? It's still in there.
Yeah,
we're the 1%ers. Value's going to go up. So I'm not worried about it. Eventually, I'll catch it. I'll sell it. You know? It comes with the territory.
Yep. Be cautious, guys.
We're going to end it there. I'm going to go ahead and put in the video that we talked about earlier. And like, subscribe, notification bell, right? And leave the comments below because those are important. Like, we're going to work on it. And, you know.
And this is probably the last, we're always going to have fun like we do, but this is the last like long
prolonged, like
singular article. Yeah. Now it's going to start speeding up faster. We kind of got into a lot of different stuff, excited together. And then there were so many in the first two that the rest will start going much faster and they'll be a lot more informative. The reason we kind of put them up front was there's a lot of new people watching. And not just new to our show, but because we're still reasonably new shows and, you know, in the past few months. So.
And honestly, before the white paper, I have XLM somewhere, but I never really covered it like that. I never really, other than that one day that I covered the white paper, right? I did the cover, but I don't know nothing about the news. I don't know nothing about nothing. Mm-hmm. I just know about coins and I'm pretty talented with pinpointing things out.
Yeah. And see, that's what makes us a good team, is I focus on like the what's the happening with it, and you're focused on like how it became.
Exactly.
So together, the two of us, we have so much, we can explain a lot. You know what I mean? And I think that's why it's fun.
And most of the stuff that we covered, I mean, we've already talked about is this is just like the articles that we want to cover to kind of show you where, how they got there and to show you how they're working with each other.
Okay. Exactly. Exactly.
Which is good.
And now a lot of this is going to, it's going to bring up different stuff. It's going to be pretty exciting. You're going to be shocked and surprised going, wow, I had no clue. If you think the first two shows were informative, it only gets better. These were for us kind of like the climbing up the mountain. Now the rest is downhill.
There's always going to be a boring part, but you have to go through it.
Okay. That's it. I'm done on my end. So,
all right.
You know, much love to you guys. Thank you guys.
Take care, guys.
All right. Have a good night.